This is a special meeting of the Improvement Committee for July 5th, 2023. Called to order. We're gonna skip over item number two for the present and move on to the Improvement Staff Report. Discussion item, Lost Lake Maintenance.
Yeah, this is just an update. You know, everybody's aware of Lost Lake and the function that it serves as a drainage basin for the district. This year, there's been some, you know, concern about the state of Lost Lake, and primarily, I think, the weeds, which, you know, we've determined that Lost Lake is, the property is owned by the country club. So the district's obligation is to cut weeds around the lake and to keep the aerator in repair and to make sure that the lake does not build up with submerged vegetation. So I've been discussing this with Rod at RMA, and he actually had the RMA crew go in there and cut down the weeds this time. So that was done. We're in the process of fixing the existing aeration lines. It just get plugged every year. It's something that we really need to be checking on a quarterly basis, and we will be doing that. We're also going to be taking a look at redesigning the aeration system, something that doesn't get plugged so easily. And we're probably going to end up taking over maintenance of the fountain just because we're already in the lake. It makes sense. So that's just kind of an update. We're going to be working with RMA to look at control strategy for reducing underwater plant growth. They have some chemicals. I'll talk to Rod and see what he may have in mind prior to getting Solitude out a second time to get us just an updated quote. We're going to try going that route first. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Lisa. Thank you for joining us.
Okay.
Looks like we've reserved a seat for you.
Oh, thank you.
So that's just basically an update on the state of where we are with Lost Lake.
So CSD's responsibility is the weeds in the pond? Or
our responsibility, because we're responsible for drainage, is to maintain the drainage basin for functionality. And with that comes some maintenance of appearance. And other.
As I recall, there's nothing in writing between us and the RMA. It's been just over time that they stepped in because there were complaints.
That's correct.
They cooperated.
There is an agreement. It's a small agreement. It's just primarily just for we pay for the power for the fountain and the aerator, and they provide the fountain. So there's a small written agreement. But as far as the weeds go, RMA stepped in because it was becoming a nuisance, a potential fire hazard.
You're talking outside the limits of
outside the limits of the pond. The surrounding property.
So what, we're going to take that over?
No.
Just inside the pond?
Yeah, inside the pond, and you know, just around the banks, you know, the toe.
Okay.
So we can get in and maintain the pond as needed. Ultimately, it's the country club's property. RMA decided to come in and take care of it. I think that's great. That's something they want to do that. That's
okay.
Fine.
Well, the other thing is they've got aerators.
And then you have to tell me
elsewhere and piece parts, and they know how to fix them and whatnot. So I'm a little bit hesitant that we would volunteer to take that over when they've been doing a good job of it.
Well, the aerators are ours. We were thinking about volunteering to take over the fountain, since we already have to go in the pond as it is, and they've been so helpful. So that's something that, you know, the fountain maintenance isn't much. It's basically both the aerator and the fountain plug from time to time. It's just getting there and maintaining it. I'd also be happy to talk to Rod if he wants to maintain our aerators as well. You know, maybe we could work something out.
Yeah.
But my hope is that we just come up with a better, eventually replace those with something that's going to be a little bit less maintenance intensive.
Okay. Do we want to move back up to item two now, or?
That'd be great.
So we, you want to kick that one off?
Sure, sure. I just wanted to bring this to the Improvements Committee. We're about ready to release the first phase of our story map, which is it's the initial phase where the data regarding water supply is in one place that has very descriptive of what our supply system is and with lots of links where people can go to get information should they need to. This story map is really the basis for our shared vision model, which will be rolled out later this summer, where we're able to study and evaluate various alternatives and demand forecasts. Kind of just giving the committee a little schedule. The next step in this process after we roll out the first phase of the story map is on the August 16th meeting, we're going to provide a existing water and recycled water system overview for the people that aren't as familiar with that system. That was something that our general manager requested. So that'll be rolled out at the August 16th meeting. Then subsequent phases of the story map will include demand information and integrated water master plan alternatives, which will be introduced in future improvement committee and board meetings. Future special meetings will include presentations of the shared vision model, where the information from the story map will be applied in creating an analysis of alternatives for meeting water demands over various simulations. And so we wanted to, do you have it up? You do have it up. Excellent. So Lisa, did you want to kind of walk us through the story map?
Sure, yes.
Some of the things that, and Amelia, we can just scroll as needed.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. You did a nice overview. So I'm Lisa Madaus. I'm one of the engineering consulting co-leads, myself and Dan Scalis from Atkins Engineering.
And Dan is on the line. He's on Teams.
Dan's on the line. And I also have Zach Vernon on our team from Madaus Water Management also on the line. So we have created an overview. This is a feature that is available through it's an ArcGIS feature where we can link to a number of just maps and details and things that, you know, we're kind of developing as we go along. So we thought it would be a good idea just to share it out in a format like this. It's called a story map. It's becoming a more and more common feature of engineering projects to kind of just give everyone a clear background. So why we do it in engineering is that, you know, everyone is looking at and needs to understand kind of the basis of what we have, the system as it functions. So we have, thanks for scrolling down, given some, and if you mouse over, there's really nice features on like the property that was originally Rancho Murrieta and then how it's developed over time.
You can move that, Amelia.
Yeah, they're dynamic. The little slide bar moves.
Oh,
you can, you can move back and forth. Yeah, and see. So the story map itself and why we do it is it, it tries to make engineering projects really, I would say, more tangible in terms of understanding the background, the basis, and kind of what our existing, this story map really shows the existing water system that we have and kind of the basis of how we're evaluating the supply side is what you're seeing now. That's the phase one that Michael was talking about. And then we also will compare that to the demands, and then we're envisioning there could be a third phase to this too, where we talk about the different scenarios and alternatives. So you can scroll down a little bit and just show that we give an overview of the integrated master plan. It's been one of many of the series of them, including what started Rancho Murrieta was a master plan originally. There's one in the 80s. There was several updates in the 2000s. if you scroll down, we give references for why we do. And you have had, it was actually originally envisioned for the Rancho Marietta system to have a one water concept where you use the water from the reservoirs, you then use the wastewater and the recycled water system and optimize everything. So that's, we're showing background of kind of planning approaches that we use. If there's questions about that, there was at the town hall meeting some questions about that, so we thought it was a good idea to bring that forward. There's a link there, the ArcGIS story map, so you can understand what they are, how they function. And then we go through just the basis of the permits, that how the different reservoirs operate, the rights to take water from the river, just as the historical background, and the current permits that you operate under. So this should be a really nice outline and description of the RADA rights that you have. And if you keep scrolling, then you can see we prepared data on the pumping history going back more than about a decade on which reservoirs have been pumped into and how much. So you'll see both Calero, Clemente, which flowed into Chesbro. You can keep scrolling down. There's descriptions of all these. So this is the monthly flows. It's kind of a small scale, but you can see these are new, actually. And we took the time to work with Rancho Marietta and the intern to come up with the kind of records that we needed in more depth than we've looked before. So part of this investigation has been really helpful to look back at the history. So this is what's been pumped specifically into Clemente that had come up as in the dark bars along with the lighter bars that are Calero there. Keep going.
This one's Clemente.
Oh, okay, and this one's Clemente specific of what's been diverted from the consumedness and the raw water pump station into Clemente. Yeah, and then there's nice background on, we pan out to the whole, so that's the permit functions and how the permit's been used to divert water. And then we get into kind of just the watershed in general. And if you scroll down, it'll go through all the three reservoirs and kind of like the source supply of where the water comes from. And then how the water flows into and what the different, each reservoir is. So it zooms into then the system, there's the pump station, the dam area. Here's the flow rates from the USGS. The particulars about the Calera Reservoir. And if you keep going, there, all the reservoirs are on there, so people can walk through and see the details of each reservoir.
And there's links throughout to get to the base information.
That's right. So we've linked to other areas of the district's website where there's files. That's how this functions.
Here?
Yep. So you can click on.
These numbers have been updated for the work we've done.
That's right.
Topography.
That is correct.
Yeah. There's a nice, what we on the right, we call this a process flow diagram of how things are interconnected for the different infrastructure, which is helpful, which I think the committee's seen.
They may have seen this.
Yeah. But we, you know, talk this through, but this is how water can move between the, from pumped into the reservoirs, out of the reservoirs, over the treatment plant, into the tanks or kind of in the middle there, and then the purple is the recycled water system and how that functions. So this is hopefully helpful for those that, you know, maybe see a big tank out there but don't know how it all fits together. And the different reservoirs, yeah, how they're interconnected and how they can flow water, basically, is the good story. That's why they call it a process flow diagram. It's good for us to kind of talk through, and if you want to go through it, you know, at a future date, we can certainly walk through any of this slower. I can back up. But if you scroll down, there's just that's a picture of the water treatment plant. Some people haven't not been all the way back there. There's an aerial view of it with the upgrade. So and these are then into the tanks and where the tanks are located. That's the Rio Osos tank. The Bleck tank. So this is hopefully a really nice description and helpful so that everyone understands the different components of the infrastructure that you have, the system that's operating, and then, you know, we'll be using this as a basis for how it functions. You can keep going. There's descriptions of a recycled water system, too. We've pivoted over, and we intend to have, you know, more discussion on that, you know, as we go forward, but... And then we plan to have further updates, and that's really the extent of what we've compiled to share out at this time as the basis for, yeah, the analysis that we're working on. It's under development, but this is, yeah, hopefully very helpful. We hope it prompts, you know, questions, dialogue, you know, and an understanding where we're, yeah.
And that's
system that has that you have
to operate. Today, I believe it's going to go live today.
Yeah, so that's going to go live after the meeting today. Yep, and
I'll put it on the integrated water master plan page.
Right.
Right, which is one of the tiles on the main page. So it's a big.
Yeah.
And then there's something else I'm going to put on there, Lisa.
There is. We did. There was some questions about how the Clementia itself and that reservoir functions within the system and the permit. And so we talked to Ryan Stolfus, who's your water rights specialist, and he prepared a more detailed memo that describes, you know, kind of how that permit and functions. And so we have a supplemental document that is linked through the story map and will be also posted on the district's integrated master plan webpage. So that was just helpful background and basis, so that our goal with this is to share out the basis.
Is there a quick summary of that that you can?
Quick summary of the
Clementia situation that you can present here today.
Yeah, I guess in a nutshell, I can say
basic.
It or you can't. Yeah, it's pretty basic. So Clementia has both a license with it and a permit with it. So the permit is what we, as part of the engineering analysis, wanted to make sure was clarified and very clear. So there is recreational use. That was turned into a license back in 1969 because recreational use is obligated, like it's available, right? You can use it for recreation. So that was a license. And then the permit is what allows you to pump, and it is actively been pumped into under the permit historically. So that's the permit part. And then there's more description of that, but we have on the website, there's the full, all three reservoirs operate under the same permit. And there's 850 acre feet that's available under Clementia's permit for rights to draw upon for supply. And that,
so that
has been...
that's what people really want to know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, it's recreational, but in a pinch, that water is available for use.
Yes, and I think the memo is very helpful at clarifying that. And not only that, but it has been pumped into from the Consumnist River. So that, acre feet, there's a record of what's been stored, you know, in there. So there is the recreational right is more, I'm not going to speak for Ryan, but the, who's your water rights specialist, but is the draw from the watershed that gets stored is more the recreational use and license part, and then the municipal part is it clarified in the memo.
We can basically utilize whatever we pump in, we can utilize.
Yeah.
Per the water right scenario.
But it fills up naturally without pumping pretty much everything.
I think it does. It does. It can fill up naturally. I believe last year it filled up naturally. I think the memo does illustrate that.
Every year it's been pumped into.
And so basically because we keep record of what we pump into, we have that available to us in a time of need.
And that's the portion that can be used for simple water supply.
Yeah, you can't utilize any more than what the lake can hold, and of course. Are you done?
If I answered your question, then yes. That's the clarity that we hope will come with that. When you public come on.
If you'll speak into the microphone and introduce yourself, I've got the
John. John Merchant, lot.
Something or another.
Oh, right. Page 2, where it was referencing permit 16762.
Mm-hmm. Let me see how fast I can get up there. Page 2.
This runs like a website. It's kind of like Wikipedia. Just scroll. It's not like an individual page. Yeah, it's probably down. He's probably referencing down. Mm-hmm.
Plan.
And keep going. Yep. The next segment would be the.
Okay.
We also have those little shortcut things that pop.
Mm-mm.
There you go.
There you go.
I keep going a little bit further. Because it'll give you the reservoir query. Stop right there. It gives you your quantities of 1,250 acre feet for Clementia, and then it gives you 2,610 for. Chesbrough gives you 40 for hole 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that gives you 850 for Clementia. The problem is that below that is the disclaimer that was a revision to the permit in 1980, that shows you that you're not to succeed in there is 2,650 acre feet. And when you take that away from the actual allocation of the 3,900 acre feet that you get from the entire permit, that number conveniently comes out to be the 850 of Lake Clementia. And I think where that ties in is, I keep reinforcing that every time we've applied for an extension of use. And I think what it means is what it says, is that there's no diversion right on 1676. Now, I'm in the process of verifying that from top down to see if we can really understand it. But what you're saying there is not correct. So, and you're right. It's primarily filled up with drainage, and it has been consistently, other than the times I think that Travis said. Perhaps top it off at the end of the season so that you make the water deeper around the raft where they swim in and stuff like that. But what you'll be able to take out, if that part is really correct, what the consultant is saying, that you take out what you put in, that's not going to afford you a very large quantity of water because you're not putting in very much. And we have dipped into it. It's interesting, when we took that water down in Carol Anderson, at 250 acre feet, I think that was a permit violation.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, yes, maybe. There's a lot of stuff, when you look at the 16765, which is the Clementia license, that's not what that license means. That's not a license so you can go swimming in there. You didn't need a license. The license was a perfected permit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to really redefine that because I think you got a problem. So that's I spent more time on this than I did on my thesis. So I think I'm going in the right direction. I've got some more stuff to verify, but that's not right.
So just assume that we're going to get legal opinions on this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've actually conferenced in our attorney with our water rights expert. So
we'll definitely have an expert opinion.
Yeah, we've I mean, we're releasing this time because we feel we did the due diligence, so that, yeah, I mean, that's where we are.
So our water rights attorney has looked at this and said...
Our water rights expert, and our attorney, the board attorney has also been in some of those meetings.
Okay, mm-hmm. Then they've all given the nod that yes, this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, he hasn't seen any reason why we couldn't.
Okay.
I mean, one would think it would be good news to some extent.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So I really like this. So the idea here is to continue building this and continuing to put it on the website so that this is always available for as we progress. This is... I really like this.
I agree with it. Yeah. It's helpful. And if somebody wants to dive deep into it, they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our thought is this should help be a detailed Wikipedia-like page to understand. Here's the supplies. Here's the system. This is, you know, kind of how it all, you know, functions together. And then. It's you scroll far enough, we intend to kind of have a phase that's more like a demand story that you know, you can scroll through and understand that, and then when you put the two together, then there'll be a third story.
Yeah, it's all kind of like a record with links to the source documents. So to try to eliminate some of the confusion moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just offer clarification.
So I hope that this gets used by everyone in the district that has an interest in the topic. Or is there a plan to make sure that this is out there in everybody's face?
I'm going to post this to the website and the letter from the Ryan, the water rights expert, on the integrated Water Master Plan page, which there's a tile right on the front page of the website for the Integrated Water
and
Master Plan.
It should be a topic on the Communications Committee.
Guys, sorry, but you can't do this. You're not speaking into your microphone.
Now we're just talking about trying to get this out there to the public, and I recommended that this be a topic at the Communications.
We're postponing Communications Committee meetings for several months because of other workload, but we'll make sure that staff places the information up on the website and includes it in the pipeline and make sure that the information is disseminated.
Okay. Good enough. Anything else, Marty?
No. What's the schedule for the next one?
To be determined, ideally August, September time frame, yeah, would be our goal.
Yeah, potentially.
That's our goal, would be generally end of summer. Yeah.
Okay. I think the next event, if you will be the August board meeting where we'll go over the water system and the Resaca water system for those that aren't familiar with that as well. That's scheduled.
John.
The nice thing about this too is it's dynamic, so we can update and add to it, and you know, people check back. Yeah.
So, just thinking about the recycled water and the discussions about what it would take to get water across the highway, to get that water over there, and those costs and whatnot, is that going to be part of this process?
I think so, And as you might remember, before I got here, I think we may have gotten some grant money to put pipe underneath the road. So if we want to start serving, let's say, like the Marietta Gardens, assuming that we had enough recycled water, we would need to put a separate pumping infrastructure in place at some strategic location. But the pipe underneath the freeway is there.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be looking at costs.
Yes.
To put in that separate system and so on.
I believe
as
so.
Part of this process.
I believe so. And it'll be like preliminary, you know, level data.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Yeah. That's part of the outcome of the master plan. So. Yeah.
John?
For the CIP, is that you get a capital improvements plan out of it so that it's kind of preliminary budgets or look, you know, what you would need to further invest in the infrastructure. Yeah, it's part of the outcome of our
analysis. And that'll help feed into the CIP plan that we're going to be doing for the five-year rate study.
Mm-hmm. I just had a question on where you are or where usage fits in, particularly, you know, as you start to formulate your per capita numbers for usage. Are you planning to use, you know, we've had inherent in our system for since we started the ability, we read every meter every month.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, in the database, as I recall, had the ability to identify lot size because in the bills before they changed the previous time, we used to get some really good information by lot size as to water comparisons to last year were and all that other stuff. Are those in this new system that we're implementing, this new billing system, are those the numbers you're going to use? I'm trying to understand, as you go forward, there's two segments to this. There's the first segment where we have actual usage for the 2,650 connections we've got today. Mm-hmm. And we should be able to break those down and identify those essentially in usage by cottage lot, estate lot, circle lot,
mm-hmm.
Area of townhomes, all of that stuff. And as you go forward, understanding what the plan that's at the county looks like now and the implementation of whatever landscape plan is in there and all that other stuff, that you can formulate pretty much reasonable estimates for usage from those folks. Is that the plan rather than just to develop a model and like we did from going from report to report, we went from 750 gallons to 650 gallons. Are we gonna try and use, we have a finite application now. I mean, we in 2010 we didn't know really how many houses we were gonna build. I'm just wondering how you know, is that going to be a model or are we going to use as much actual data as we can?
Yeah, so good question. If you look back, we did what we called technical memos on demand factors. So there was original, those are in land use and engineering plan, like a planned number. So certain lot types are planned, use certain demands you anticipate. Those are estimates, right, at that time. So we are going back through the lots by lot type to see what they're actually using now versus what was planned originally for the existing lot types that are constructed. And then we are evaluating, and there's different size lots now that are being proposed with the more recent tentative map. So we're looking at, okay, how real are those, you know, past demand factors that were looked at versus what's being used now by different lot sizes versus what proposed lot sizes are, is, you know, kind of the formulation evaluation we're looking to create a basis. So part of that is to look at the history of water use, yeah, by lot type from the district and from the consumption history that we have from the billing records, like you said, the meter records. So that's all part of our analysis that we do. So to answer your question, yes, we look at constructed lots. Yes, we look at historical consumption on those. Yes, we compare that and look at what was planned, and those, we call them demand factors, but what was planned for those. So there's, you know, how close were those original estimates, and then we also look at the look ahead. It's like what lots are, do we anticipate or planned that the county has information for us and the district has provided us. So there was questions at the town hall. I just want to clarify too again that we don't work for, you know, any of the development community, you know, but we need their information to know what lot numbers are coming, lot sizes are coming, so that we can make some real robust estimates, you know, together. So just like we do it with best available data that we have. So, so everything that we have.
But yeah, I understand that. And so when you collect those numbers, do you collect them from the district, do you collect them from the county, or do you collect them from the developer?
We collect them through the district. Everything we use is provided to us by the district. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and they get it from the sources that are appropriate. Either yeah. they have it, or the county, or the developer, or whoever they need.
Recent version of, you know, X development. What's
yeah, but we don't.
What are the lot
yeah.
sizes? How many of them are there?
And if it's on a map or it's on application, it counts. We don't modify that number by hypothetically a guy like Bob Kyle saying, well, I'm authorized for 99, but I'm only going to build 33 or whatever.
It's what's on the paper. It's on the paper.
What's on the paper. Okay, great.
Yeah, we've been trying to make sure to validate what we...
Because all of that is you can pull it, because all of that's the county on... Mm-hmm. We have the maps here for what was approved in 2006, and everything else is on the county down there in the application that was put in for the last 795 homes.
Very good. In my opinion, an excellent start, and... thank you for that.
Phase is clarifying the next piece of what Mr. Merchant was just asking. Those questions should be more, our basis will be clear, linked, you know, provided, you know, all the backup that we have shared.
It's basically three pieces of this. There's
right.
the supply, the demand, and then what do we do about it?
Yep, exactly. Okay. Yep.
And so we've got part one and part two
in process. And then there'll be a part three. Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us this
morning. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Excellent.
Any more questions for me or?
I think.
Questions for Dan, Scott?
Yeah, Dan or
Brian,
Zach on our teams on the line. Do you have any other?
I'm good.
Questions?
Good.
Thank you very much for joining us, Dan and Zach. We're going to go ahead and put the meeting now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on standby.
Okay. And I'm going to switch my screen back to your report, Michael.
Yes, item B. Drainage just maintenance. What's that?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Lisa.
Unless you want to stay for drainage just maintenance.
No.
You don't
want to
talk about ditch maintenance?
No, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, as you know, we maintain several miles of drainage ditch throughout the district. Ditch maintenance is very labor-intensive endeavor, where our primary responsibility is within the floodway, which is defined as the ditch itself and the toe of the slope going into the ditch. Over the years, it's been harder and harder to attract people to come back and cut our ditches down. Weeds, our own utility crew cannot often not be expended for this work, especially when we have service calls, leak repairs, and the list goes on. Last year, we contracted to utilize sheep and goats to maintain the ditches and surrounding areas. Part of those surrounding areas were also owned by RMA. The cost to utilize the goats and sheep for weed reduction was $22,000 last year. The quote this year from the same vendor was $45,000. We haven't been able to get additional people interested to come out to give us a quote. Part of the issue is how often the sheep have to be moved and the fence has to be moved along with the sheep, just because of the small nature in which we're doing. If we had, you know, a 40-acre parcel, it'd be easy. You just put up a fence and come back after some time. So we haven't had any luck with that. I know it was very popular with the residents. We have been in contact with the Department of Corrections, and we've discovered that we can hire a crew of 8 to 15 laborers, depending on the crew size, at a rate of about $200 a day. There's also an additional day per day cost added if we have a secondary guard. If we want that level of security. By my estimate, you know, they could potentially be done in 15 to 20 days, looking at an estimate of $3,000 to $4,000, which is a fraction of what we paid to have the goats and sheep in last year. So we are in contact with the Department of Corrections. We're trying to get called back. We were in contact with them at one point, and then I think they got busy, so we're trying to contact them to see if we can't get them to come in for a couple of weeks, get everything cut down for next winter. One thing that we want to do differently this year is to remove the weed cuttings. In the past, we have not removed the weed cuttings. We've just cut down the weeds, and you know, there's some thought that if we're able to remove cuttings, we could potentially prevent the reseeding of the weeds. I mean, it's never going to be perfect, but I think it'll potentially, probably after 2 or 3 years, it may reduce the amount that we have to get in there and cut on a regular basis. So that's one of the things I'd like to try this year. So that's kind of where we're at with ditch maintenance, and I wanted to bring it to the improvements committee's attention.
Are you talking about the county corrections people, or are you talking about state?
I think it's state.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and they work with the fire marshal.
Yeah, they are fire camp inmates, and they during the day when they're not on fires, they have different crews. They go out with the fire captain and do jobs in the community of whatever they're assigned to do during the summer. And these are the type of work that they do. Then one of the issues is if they get called to a fire, then they have to leave. But they are monitored by the fire captain. They're low-level security inmates. And one of the things that Michael had brought up that we were talking about is if we wanted to pay to have one of the corrections officers out here, because they all just work together in an area and then go from area to area.
What do we do with the cuttings? To the dump?
Either we load them up in a truck and just dump them on our own site, or you know, we contract to have them removed. Yeah. I don't know if they're available to actually remove them. They're probably just there to cut them and bag them, and then we'd probably just dump them here on our own property.
Is Department of Corrections, are they available to us because we're a district, or are they available to the public?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that, because I was thinking about my own property.
Well,
but we'll find out.
I would like, because last year we shared the sheep and the goats with the developers and some private owners, and it all worked out because it just did. So I'd like, that'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah, for sure.
Marty?
Yeah, I like the idea of a secondary guard myself. And this is the idea, is to save some money. But what if we can't get them? What's the next alternative? We had trouble finding people to do it in the past.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just keep trying to find a solution. This seemed like the most economical solution. I mean, even surpassing just hiring temporary laborers.
But do you think you can hire temporary laborers? That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, it's possible. If we have to, you know, we'll resort to more desperate measures and pay more money.
So this is going to happen like late August, early September?
It's got to happen before the rains.
Yeah. So you go into early October even?
Potentially. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that, but yeah.
Okay. Well, sounds like you're trying hard to find something, but
yeah.
I hope you're successful.
Well, we were, you know, we could have had them in earlier, but we were still trying to get sheep and goat people to get back to us. because I know how much the community liked that. So it's just tough.
And can I weigh in on that one? Just, I think there are two concerns with the weeds. One is the potential for fire fuel from the dry weeds, and then also for clogging different drainage ditches. And then what I'd like to propose for next year is that before the seed heads are actually dried out and viable, that we get the weeds cut. So I think in addition to getting the plan in place for August, September, we get into position to have the weeds, when they're green, taken down in May, probably April or May, because that is going to help our longer-term strategy of preventing just the proliferation of the plants. So that's my 2 cents.
Sounds good.
Okay. See?
So we've been notified by the state that we have to now monitor the level of our reservoirs on an hourly basis. So we solicited quotes from three suppliers to set that up. Lowe's quote was just under 15,000, and we'll now have level transducers that will provide level at an hourly basis for our three primary reservoirs moving forward. And we've put that put that in motion, so we should be getting that.
What are they thinking?
What's
behind this?
I mean, if I knew what they're thinking, I'd have a better job than I do.
Does somebody own stock in one of these transducer?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
companies. Or?
Maybe they're worried about. Maybe this is an early warning for a breach. I don't know. I think it's probably this broad brush the state will paint for everybody having to comply with. So we got the notice of having to comply with it, and when Rome speaks.
So what's the supplier going to do?
It's going to set up a series of I think they're going to be pressure transducers. And basically what that will do is they'll put it at the bottom of the reservoir. There'll be a little cord, and there'll be a little machine with a little solar panel. And they'll provide data on the height of the reservoir on an hourly basis.
And are they going to read it?
No, we're going to read it. I believe that, doesn't it go?
There's an app that you can download, so we can get it on our phones. And it creates a graph, and we can send it to the computer for when we have to report it to the state.
We've been doing this at our duck club for a long, long time. My son does it. It's just a piezometer.
Yeah, that's right.
That you plug a machine into it to download it, and you can set it for whatever frequency you want. But 15 grand, that seems like crazy money.
Yeah.
It's only three spots, right?
Three spots. But it's the machine, it's the sending unit, it's the solar panel, it's everything. It's associated with, a water utility. We'll probably link the information to our GIS and click on it and see what the
download is. Yeah, seems like. It just seems like a lot. Okay.
Let's see. Item D. We're having to replace a water recirculating pump on our east dissolved air flotation unit at the wastewater treatment plant. This pump supplies flow to the air saturation tank, which brings that air to dissolved air flotation tank to float all the solids to the top. We met with our district engineer, and we reviewed various replacement pumps, and we found a pump that will hit the curve a little bit better where we need it to be, and we'll be able to save about $2,000 from the original replacement model cost. So that's kind of a win. So that pump has been ordered and should be here in 14 to 16 weeks. Our wastewater drying bed panel update, that was a capital project. For last fiscal year, we went ahead and ordered the panel prior to the end of the fiscal year, so that is on its way. Then it will just be some minor costs for installing that panel. This is a panel replacement project we've wanted for several years to keep our drying beds drained correctly at our wastewater treatment plant. Typically, when sludge is mined or excavated out of the treatment lagoons, they drag it over to our drying beds along with some of the DAF reject. Mm-hmm. Some of the solids that are pulled off the dissolved air flotation also go to those drying beds. So it's our solids processing center. And as I was just telling Travis earlier before the meeting, this particular wastewater treatment plant is blessed that we don't have a large solids processing cost. We don't have to do any solids digestion, and our dewatering is very basic and affordable. Usually, a conventional treatment plant, you're spending 50 to 60% of your O&M costs on dewatering and sludge digestion. So here it's more of a very small kind of incidental cost. So that's something that we should be thankful for. Retreats North infrastructure acceptance. So KHAV has provided all the items that I've requested that the district needs in order to move forward with providing this to the board at the next board meeting. It'll be a resolution to accept the infrastructure and direct the general manager to enter into a bill of sale with the developer to accept that water, sewer, and storm drain infrastructure as part of the Retreats North. So we'll be introducing that at the next board meeting for acceptance. Once that acceptance has been done, we will start capitalizing that infrastructure.
Is there any interaction between the north and the ones that are not done yet, the areas that are not completed?
Oh, you mean the houses that haven't been built?
Yeah, I understand we're accepting the north, which is essentially done, but the other pieces aren't done yet, right?
Well, no, actually yes and no. So the east we accepted back in October.
Yeah.
And then the north has not been accepted yet. So all that infrastructure needs to be accepted. The one piece that is not going to be accepted yet will be that lift station 6B. And they've been granted additional time due to the long lead time for the pumps. And we will have to accept that on a subsequent.
I was going to ask about that. The drainage system that didn't flow right, did they end up tearing it out and rebuilding it?
Yes. Yep.
Who? Just out of curiosity, whose fault was it?
It was Tykert's fault.
Their surveyor probably laid it out wrong.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was the surveyor or the construction folks, but it was a Tykert responsibility that they had to work that out between Tykert and KHAV, and we just wanted it to be right. So that was corrected.
Okay.
And so then, is it okay with the committee to move that to the board?
I'll keep coming back to this. When we were dealing with the Murrieta Gardens area, there still had we accepted some of the infrastructure, especially around the ponding basin. But in reality, there were still parts to be built that and their construction would impact that. And are we covered such that they need to give us some sort of video of that piping after construction is complete, so we don't put big sediment in those pipes?
Oh, yeah, we've retested. You're speaking of the storm drain pipes that were going the wrong way.
No, I'm talking about there's sediment that comes down during construction until it's all done, right? But like at Myriad Garden, they're building all those shopping centers or new lots, and that all flowed to that ponding basin. But there's a chance of sediment getting those pipes until everything's done.
Oh, I see.
Is there a way we can, when we accept the infrastructure, that they give us a video?
Oh, make them blow out the pipe, yeah.
Make sure we know it's clear before we're all done.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. I mean, that's, Marietta Gardens is one of those developments where it doesn't all get done in 1 year.
Yeah, even, there's still a lot of houses to build over there.
Piecemeal.
That could impact the drainage system.
Houses in Marietta Gardens?
No, I'm talking about the K-Hubs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we also have a, you know, a year.
But you think it's going to be done in a year? All the houses?
God, I would hope so. But, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Yeah, and we do have really good inspectors here with the district now, and we'll make sure that, you know, at the end, if there is any sediment in there that needs to be removed, that, you know, it'll be removed.
Yeah, and that should be part of their stormwater plan, right? They got to do DI protection and so on.
Yeah, they're supposed to protect it, but what if it...
Some gets through, and so if it does, you know...
So could you, do we have the ability to... They have a one-year warranty. Could we accept that, make an exception for the underground piping to be re-scoped? At the end of the whole period of construction, then they go in there and scope it. Make sure there's not full crap.
I mean, we could definitely ask them to do that.
Because otherwise, whatever's in there is ours, our problem.
Yeah, of course. Understood. And this is one of those non-perfect, you know, construction projects.
Yeah.
That where things are happening a little bit later than we would like, and we don't want to... I completely understand what you're saying, Marty. We don't want to be on the back end of that, and we will monitor that and make sure that does get done when the last house is complete. You know, they're probably, I think this fall, the winter is probably going to be the worst of it, and then after that, you know, I don't expect much more sediment from construction, but so.
They do have a lot of open channel drains over there.
Yeah, there's some open channel drains for sure. This year does get us through the main precipitation point of the winter all the way to basically July again. So there'll be time within that year for sure. And that just when I mentioned the years, that just gives us a little more muscle to make them do it in that year's time. And the way that the winter is falling. And whatever sediment does occur will occur within that year period. I don't expect a lot of sediment to be added post precipitation.
Okay, so I guess with no objection, we'll move this to the board.
Yeah, but
with the understanding that we're going to take a look at the pipes after this winter and make sure that they're clean.
So that ended up happening to us at the gardens?
Yeah, they said we don't have to do anything. We're done. And we said, well, you should do something so you can take a picture of it, see if there's sediment in those pipes. Because otherwise, you never know. Right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair. The next person that comes along develops there. Yeah. Interesting.
Yep. No, we did get caught with that over there.
Let's see. Item G, our SB 170 project update. We have provided the draft annual report to the state for the $1.3 million in SB 170 funds provided to the district. If everything goes right, all projects are slated to be completed in this current fiscal year. Grandly's four-bay safety improvements are currently in the design phase. Our water plant sodium hypochlorite improvements have reached the 100% design level. And I'm hoping to get an updated engineer's estimate to bring that before the board prior to, or improvements committee, whatever happens first, prior to this going up to bid. Wastewater facility chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite and contact tank improvements are currently at the preliminary design level. We had a meeting last week with the engineer, and we're asking them to flesh out a few more details regarding the contact tank design prior to beginning that design. So that's an update. Item H, our annual wastewater sludge removal. We're scheduling out to remove sludge in lagoon number 2. We estimate this cost to be between $17,000 to $25,000, depending on the level of accumulated sledge that they end up hauling out. They go on an hourly basis. And how much is it an hour?
$400.
$400 an hour. And basically what they do is they take a pump and pump the sludge out, or a dredge?
It's just a pump. We drain the pond, and then they bring out some big pumper trucks and just pump the sludge out of it, and then they dump it in our drying bed, so we don't have to pay for them to remove it. It actually just goes into our drying beds. And we normally have them here for, normally we have either one truck for 4 days or two trucks for 2 days. So we're optiming for two trucks for 2 days. But it's just, we have to do it per our permit. And we just sludge judge ponds 1 and 2, and 2 needs it more. So that's the one we're going with this year.
What's the name of the company?
APS Environmental. It's the only place that'll do it for us anymore. We've gone through several pumping companies, and they bring in smaller ones, and they've blown up their vehicles and their motors. This company has the huge trucks and are able to handle it. It's what they do. We've been using them for the past 5-6 years.
Travis, I'm curious, what do we do with the sludge once it's all dried out?
So we have once a year we have a company, I think it's Sinico. They actually they come and remove our sludge out of the drying beds. We stick it in the drying beds, drying bed 1, and we let it dry. So we have to get down to a certain dryness, and then they come out and remove it, and they take it to a special processing plant. I think they used it for fertilizer. I'm not 100% sure about that, but we pay them to remove the sludge on a yearly basis. Last year we didn't get it done in time, and it wasn't dry enough, so this year we'll have 2 years worth of sludge to be removed.
Thank you, Travis. And that should be happening the second week of August. And that's all I have for my report, if there's any questions.
Any questions?
Do we ever get the valve for the airport system?
Yes. Yes, we do have the valve in, and we're going to start potholing over there soon, and I'll let the committee know once we have a date for construction. It's active. Are you talking about the flow meter for the airport?
I thought it was a valve and a meter.
Yeah, we're putting an additional valve in, but...
So who's doing that? We are?
We are, yeah. It's we can do that in-house.
So we got all the parts ready?
Yes. Yeah. Finally got the meter in, and we're potholing. We want to install that valve, and once we have that installed, essentially the airport will be, once again, isolated for the sake of billing. Okay. And it's a two-way meter, so we'll take the, it'll 100 cubic feet this way, 80 that way, we'll get the difference.
Got it. Okay, thank you for that. Item 4 on the agenda is comments from the public. Nuts, here we go, John.
I just have a question, Randy. Is there any, is have we arrived at a plan for the pipe that goes up to Stonehouse Park that was originally scheduled to deliver recycled water up there? I know John had his eyes on it. Paul had the pipe tested and verified that it was still usable. Did anything ever come of that?
No, I think the last I heard about that pipe was, I think, the month before I started. It was approved that, you know, that pipe wouldn't need to be used for recycled water in East and West.
Well, it didn't need to be used for recycled water because we didn't have the recycled water to take
Correct.
Up there.
Yeah, yeah. I have no knowledge of any designs on that plant, on that pipe.
Because the other part of that is part of this recycled water part of your plan, is that, you know, in the 16762 permit, the original concept was that we took this water and we gave it to the golf course by agreement. Okay, and then when we had enough, which we never have, but when we have enough water, we satisfy them, we go up to the parks. And after we go up to the parks, then we go to residential development. And we're not going in that order. And John had his eye on that pipe because he didn't want to trench all the way up the Stonehouse Road.
Yeah.
So that was my first question. I'd really at some point like to understand what the answer is. And the second question I have is, do we have a workable plan now with Kyle for his property? I mean, for water, sewer, and drainage up there?
He's
or
just
is
submitted.
It off the 19, the, is that off the 2006 maps? Or?
Well, I don't think it's just Kyle anymore. I think it's...
No, it's Kyle. One side is Kyle and one side is a person to be named later.
Okay.
But I was just wondering, they're actively selling lots up there, and I don't know if they're conditional on delivering water, sewer, and drainage, or what's going on. I
mean, so far, they've requested us to review their drainage and grading plans, and we have provided them comments. That's where we're at in the process.
Well, what about water and sewer?
We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I was just curious.
Good question.
I mean, we're...
Right.
I don't know how we're involved at the point where he's selling lots. I mean, conceptually, we've never done it that way. You know, we've had water, sewer, and drainage, and originally a cable box sitting next to your property when you bought it. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, people, I don't know. It seems like folks are just kind of marching forward.
Okay, well, thanks.
Yeah. John, about that pipe, what's that pipe made out of?
I don't know the answer to that, but I know that we did test it.
Yeah, Ron, talked with Ron.
Mm. Yeah, because there's some question, it's been in there so long, there's some question as to whether it's still viable or not, but it was. It pressure tested well.
And you're referring to some directive where parks get served first?
No, I'm not. It's not a directive, no, but that's when you read the permit, that conceptually that's what we were designed to do. So.
But then we looked at the costs to get the recycled water up to the Stonehouse and to that development, and decided that the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, and there were easier, cheaper places to move that water than that. And we just, and to my knowledge, no one's ever addressed that pipe being there.
I believe we own that pipe, correct?
I believe we do.
So we may use it for something, yeah.
We may.
It's always,
it's there.
It's always nice to have a pipe going from one spot to the other next to a freeway, you know, or road.
Okay, item, director and staff comments first. Any staff comments? Directors?
Nope.
And I don't have anything, so we will move to adjournment. Thank you, everyone, for attending this morning, and have a great day.